everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing today's edition. He always produces, actually, our Friday edition. Tom, I'm still waiting for the postcard that I sent to myself 2 weeks ago from the island of Rarotonga in the Cook Islands. I'll let you know when it arrives.
I'm guessing you already got the one from Tahiti.
No, not yet. Not from
neither one.
No, and I always like to do that to see how long it will take, you know, but I'll let you know.
I'm going to guess that the one from Tahiti gets to you before the one from Bora Bora.
Not from the Cook Islands.
Oh, from the Cook Islands.
I would agree, yeah.
Okay.
Better air service.
Maybe it's stranded in Tahiti.
Stranded in Tahiti. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that will be. If I ever do kind of a memoirs, that will be the title. That was Sarah Garrett Gaston. We'll talk about Sarah in a moment when we introduce her. But today is the second day of June 2017, the Buckmaster Show. A reminder, we re-air the Friday program. Get a second airing Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI. Quick shout out to some of our media friends who support us by placing the Buckmaster Show link to our website on their particular websites. We have our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. With me in studio, who will be joining me to talk with Congresswoman Martha McSally. We have Sarah Garrett Gaston, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and United States Representative Martha McSally from Arizona's 2nd Congressional District with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bill and Sarah?
We're doing well. Thanks for taking some time to join us today. Have you officially announced that you are seeking re-election?
Well, I guess, yeah, I filed the paperwork, so I guess that's official.
So you are going to seek re-election?
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right. What about the Paris Climate Accord? Do you agree with President Trump's decision to leave that accord?
Well, let me first say that climate change is real, that there's certainly human influence on climate change. And if you look at the goals of the Paris Agreement, I certainly support many of those goals. But there's processy issues here as far as how the Obama administration went about it. It was acting similar to a treaty. And per our Constitution, treaties do need to come before the Senate and have two-thirds ratification to allow the American people to be involved in that. And so I do disagree with kind of how this was negotiated by the previous administration. And I also think, honestly, we have been reducing our emissions in America, leading the way over the last years. If you look at what the administration pledged to do, and keep in mind for, you know, those who are listening, the Paris Accords were voluntary commitments by the different countries. And so the U.S. said that we were going to reduce our CO2 emissions by 26% to 28% from 2005 levels by 2025. We're actually on track to be reducing our emissions by 17% as early as 2020. Last year, we as a country really setting the example around the world for a variety of different reasons. We reduced our emissions by 145 million tons from the year before. Keep in mind that China, over the last 5 years, has added 1.1 billion tons. And if you look at our pledge versus China's pledge, China's voluntary pledge to the Paris Accords are that they will peak their CO2 emissions in 2030, which means they're continuing to grow and add. So the Obama administration, basically, you know, committed America without the advice and consent of Senate, you know, per our Constitution, to the reductions while allowing China, who is the largest emitter of CO2, to continue to grow in their emissions. And they're saying that they're going to try to peak in 2030 and then move down from there. So I really have more of a processy answer that I think it shouldn't have been negotiated with such a mismatch between even what we were doing in China, and it should have been with the Senate. Now, from a process point of view, keep in mind, President Trump announced this yesterday, but based on sort of the way the agreement is, November 2019 is the earliest that any country or government can actually put some written request in to withdraw from it, and that takes a year then after that. And what he did not do is withdraw from the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, which was ratified by the Senate in 1994. So I don't quite understand. It seems more like a political announcement yesterday, because the first time we could actually take official action is going to be November 2019, if we were to move forward and say, you know, we're not going by what the previous administration agreed to. So, you know, it sounds a little bit more like a political announcement more than anything. But I think ultimately it should have come before the Senate. So I think we need to continue to work as a country towards reducing our emissions, which we're doing. We've had, you know, tremendous investments, some even locally here, you know, with the U of A. They're really leading on the issue. And, you know, Davis-Monthan and Fort Huachuca having largest solar arrays out there, and TEP did some of the things that they're doing. So, you know, again, I agree with the goals. This looks a little bit more like politics. And I think we can move forward to address the issue.
Sarah, you're up to the plate.
Hello, Congresswoman. My question is about the American Health Care Act. And I want to know, and I know you have an amendment that was attached to it, but I want to know just kind of straight up or down, yes or no, is this a good bill for the people in CD2?
Sarah, thanks for the question, and good to talk to you. Look, here's what we need to understand is, you know, before Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, we had people with pre-existing conditions that they were one diagnosis away from going medically bankrupt, could not get access to health care, and our health care system was messed up. But the Affordable Care Act if we're talking about the individual market, which is about 7% of the people that are not getting their health care from Medicare, Medicaid, or from their employer, which is about 60%, Medicare, Medicaid is 22%, 17%. We're talking about 7%. This individual market is failing. We have 14 or 15 counties in Arizona that only have one choice. The costs are, for those who are not getting the subsidies, are unattainable for many people. We have 20 million Americans right now who are choosing to pay a penalty or get a waiver instead of getting health insurance, many of them with pre-existing conditions, because they cannot afford it right now. We've had basically the healthy people stay out. I'm just trying to lay the lay of the land here, right? So the Affordable Care Act, although some people have been able to get access to insurance because of the provisions that says you can't be denied for pre-existing conditions, and that has been a good thing for sure, and I support that. But we have to do some things to stabilize the individual market, and the status quo is not an option. We've got states now that have no choices, and counties and states that have no choices. So we have to do something. I do not believe this is a perfect bill. I tried to be constructive along the way in order to advocate for the people that I represent, specifically in the area of Medicaid expansion, Medicaid resources, protecting pre-existing conditions, mental health, substance abuse, maternity care, giving additional tax credits to those aged 50 to 64, and to move this process so that we can provide some relief to the individual market so it is stabilized, so people can have access to insurance that right now is often out of their reach. So
well, but the states are allowing, problems. Are going to have the ability to apply for a waiver to do exactly what you just said, which is happening now.
Sarah,
said, it's the idea that people with pre-existing conditions can be excluded either by cost or by definition if the states apply for waivers. I don't understand, other than who is doing the excluding, I'm not understanding how this is better. If you have many people in your district who are Medicare age, which is fantastic, but many aren't.
Right.
And this legislation allows states to exclude people with pre-existing conditions or make it totally unaffordable, which is just going to go back to how it was before Obamacare. People who have low incomes are going to end up paying more. People who Arizona has a history of severely limiting people on Medicaid who aren't. So that's something that these are real consequences from this bill that you're supporting. And how do you explain that to your constituents who have those concerns?
Sarah, I have been tirelessly advocating to transition to a stabilized system that's going to help my constituents, that is going to help people with pre-existing conditions right now that can't afford health insurance because the model of Obamacare is not working. They are in our community right now. And this bill is not perfect. And I don't agree with that final amendment that was added. And it is being mischaracterized, by the way, even in what it is. And so those with pre-existing conditions are still guaranteed to be able to get access to health care. The issue is that if we are going to take away the individual mandate, which is the attempt of the individual mandate was to balance out the pool, so you have sick and healthy people in the pool, it balances out the insurance pool, so it stabilizes it, so prices will not continue to skyrocket. But what's happened is, for the healthy people, it's unattainable for them to get into the market right now because it's too expensive for them. So you have people that are not getting in the market, it's continuing to spiral down, and we've got to do something to stabilize it. And if you're going to get rid of the individual mandate, but you're then going to say people with pre-existing conditions can still get coverage, you've got to incentivize people having continuous coverage so that we're all not waiting until we get sick to get coverage, because that obviously doesn't work. Now, I disagree with this final amendment, but what it is based on state's discretion, which the state would request a waiver for. They could waive a variety of different things, one of which is they have to have a high-risk pool, an invisible risk pool, which is a different than the pre-Obamacare risk pools. They're more similar to what they've had in Maine, pre-Obamacare, which was very successful, where individuals sign up, they're identified as to whether they're in this essentially category of the risk pool, and then we are supporting and covering their expenses with taxpayer resources in order to make sure that they get the care that they need.
But experts on both sides of the aisle say that the amount that's allocated for that won't come close to covering what the real need will be.
That might be true, Sarah. And so I advocated for, we've got $100 billion to start with. I advocated for an additional $15 billion to support maternity and mental illness and substance abuse. There was another $15 billion added after that. For the high-risk pools, there was $8 billion added specifically related to that. And look, it's our job as this thing moves forward. If there's not enough resources, we need to allocate enough resources.
All right.
Like, this is a multifaceted process.
Okay, we're going to...
This is one element of it. And just know, Sarah, that I am committed to fighting for the people that I represent. Of course, I don't want to have people with pre-existing conditions not be able to get the care that they need. This is very serious and complex, and I have been advocating to make sure that we start this process to move towards a more stable individual market, which right now, if we do nothing, it is not functioning. And so we've got to do something. So we're starting the process. I'm working with the Senate. I'm working with the governor. I want to make sure there's more positive changes made in the Senate. And I'm going to continue to advocate to make sure people are not left, and especially the most vulnerable.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Congresswoman McSally, stick around. We'll be with you shortly. But right now, we'll take our first break on The Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers, plus our monthly visit with the former United States Army Chief of Staff, General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. On this, the 50th anniversary of the release of one of the landmark albums of rock and roll history, Sgt. Pepper's. I remember it well, 50 years ago. Anyway, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is the columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And on our live line is United States Representative Martha McSally from CD2, Congressional District Number 2. Sarah, go ahead.
In the editorial department, and I'm sure you hear this many times, people really, really want to be able to speak with you in person at a town hall. And on you've held one in Green Valley a couple months ago, and you have some telephonic town halls, but you have been you haven't done an in-person town hall in response to constituent request in the more Tucson part of the district. And on AZPM a few months ago, you mentioned that your predecessor also didn't hold town halls, but what he did was Congress on your corner. And maybe I'm not remembering specifically, but I don't recall that having you having that sort of anyone can come, anyone can talk to you sort of availability. So why won't you hold an in-person town hall in the district in a part that's not Green Valley? It's not only my question. This is coming from a lot of your constituents that I hear from.
Yeah, so in my first 2 years in office, Sarah, I mean, we were tirelessly engaging in the community in a variety of different ways. If you check around the country, I mean, every member of Congress looks at different ways to engage and maybe has a different style or way they do that. That, you know, Congress on your corner was how Gabby Giffords decided to approach that. And then, Ron Barber continued on with that tradition, but they didn't do any open town halls. We have been engaging in so many different ways, by visiting with people, meetings in our office, meetings at their workplace, meetings at nonprofits or at schools or at senior centers. People ask for appointments. They meet with my staff if I'm in D.C. or meet with me. We've brought in leaders of the different protest groups and sat down with them for over an hour to kind of hear what was on their minds and their concerns. And so, you know, representing 700,000 people, I mean, we've engaged in the community. And so we look forward to continuing to be able to do that. There's, you know, different styles of how you can reach out to people and be able to listen to them and have a constructive discussion on hearing their concerns and the issues of the day. And their ideas on the public policy issues that we're facing. And I'm going to continue to do that. I've been tirelessly out and about in the community. Again, did that for 2 years with that model, and was reelected with 57% of the vote. And so certainly the feedback that we've gotten is that we have been deeply engaged. Now, our D.C. In-session schedule has been pretty packed this year as well. And, you know, I think I've flown across the country now about 34 times commuting to D.C. To represent our district in D.C. And back here engaging, you know, with events across Cochise County and Pima County at a variety of different things. In fact, I did want to mention, as a side note, you were talking about anniversaries, Bill, this morning.
Yes.
I was at the 9th anniversary of Eric Heidt's murder. 9 years ago today, he was killed, and his wife and his daughter were there, who was less than 1 year old, up at the memorial at La Mariposa. The Boy Scouts erected a beautiful flagpole there, remembering with first responders and family and friends there, and being able to speak and engage, you know, at that event. Just want to be mindful of Noheni Heidt and her daughter Samantha on this very difficult day. But Sarah, we're going to continue to engage. And
so, if you're a constituent who isn't at one of the events, you're not part of the senior center, you're not part of the nonprofit, you don't work at the workplaces that you do visit, or you don't have the time or the ability to come and make an appointment to speak with someone in your staff, how do you suggest if they contact you? That is that's what I'm hearing from people.
Yeah, no, I hear you, sir. We, you know, people call our office and engage with our office all the time. We have several thousand, literally, phone calls, emails a week. I respond to every single one of them. And to get back to people on the issue that they're concerned about. Certainly when you're talking about convenience, because people are busy, they're living their lives, when we have these teletown halls, it provides the opportunity for people to tune in from wherever they are and engage and listen and ask questions. And so that's actually a far more convenient opportunity than making them come to me at some certain central place that may not work for their time. And so we're going to continue to engage and also engage with people who have different views and don't agree with what I'm doing in a constructive way. And we've shown that, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, the Democrats are lining up in CD2 to challenge you next year, and they all seem to agree on one thing. They accuse you of voting, well, being a rubber stamp for President Trump, voting what they say is 100% of the time on Trump-backed legislation. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct, Bill. I mean, you know me. I'm an independent voice. I am my own person, and I have my own role to represent this district. You know, for example, I'll give you just, you know, there was one bill that came up, a disapproval resolution that was related to an issue related that I thought impacted the humane treatment of animals. I'm a very strong advocate for the humane treatment of animals. And this is one that, you know, some other advocacy groups out there were very strongly supportive of. And I stood up and said, no, I think this is wrong, and I don't want to set this precedent, and I'm voting against it. And I was one of just about I think a dozen Republicans have voted against it, standing up in that case after studying the issue and having different constituencies often on both sides of this issue, but standing up and standing in with a very few people against it. As any legislation comes up, I study the issue. I study the facts of the issue, which often gets hijacked, quite frankly, in the discussions and the political discussions going on. And I listen to thought leaders. I make an assessment, and then I do the best to make the right decision to represent my district. Now, on some of the very, you know, partisan issues of the day, or whatever, you know, issues may come up. Well, in general, with this kind of district, you know, 40 to 50% of the district may disagree with any given vote. I mean, that's the nature of this type of district, this split district. I do the best I can to be thoughtful, to be objective, to study what's the best thing to do, to listen to people, and then do the right thing.
Okay.
And my job as a legislator, I mean, you look at the wins we've had so far. I've had 6 bills passed through the House this year. I have a 7th one that's going to be voted on next week. My advocacy to the administration on the A-10 has got them now saying they're going to keep it for the long haul, and that is a big win for us. My bill that was passed last week was to provide some tools to commanders with the nude photo sharing scandal that's going on in the Marines and the military right now, which is just infuriating to me. And so I did something about it, and in 81 days after we heard about it, we had legislation passed. So my job is a legislator, and I am going to introduce and push legislation that matters to our district. And when legislation comes up, I'm going to thoughtfully listen, study, and make an objective decision based on what I believe is the right thing to do. I am not a rubber stamp for anybody. I've been standing up for people my whole life.
Let's see if we can get a couple of calls in here before we have to say goodbye to the Congresswoman. Carl, you are up to the plate. Carl, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I represent the Dragoon Marble Quarry, and we have sent several letters to your office, and apparently they're getting lost with the staff or whatever. It involves the fact that the Coronado National Forest took a chunk of area, about 1,000-plus acres, and declared it an inventory roadless area, which is it was a violation of the actual regulations, because there's a real numbered Forest Service road that goes through that area right into it, and the fact that it's less than the 2,000-plus acres that are required to be an inventory roadless area. How do we get in touch with you to try and get this area withdrawn from that classification within the Forest Service?
Yeah, okay, Carl. Again, I apologize if you say you've sent letters to my office on this issue. Again, if you're writing into my office, I approve and answer and edit and rewrite, letters back to our constituents. Can we have you call my office direct when you get off the line here, which is 881-3588. Ask for CJ, my district director, and I'll have him get right back to you to make sure that we're, getting your material that you're talking about and see what we can do. In our role of federal oversight, to federal agencies, this is a Forest Service issue. We're happy to look into it, see what we can do about it, if anything that's appropriate. And so please apologize and please call CJ, and we'll make sure that we circle back with you on that.
Okay.
You have an extensive background in international relations and through your military career and what you've done since. So I'm curious, from someone with your expertise, how do you think Donald Trump represented the United States' interests in his recent trip abroad, particularly with NATO?
Well, let me say, I actually just recently was abroad myself in Estonia, Ukraine, and Poland, and seeing the very deep concerns that some of our allies have there related to Russian aggression, in the case of Ukraine, of course, invading them in eastern Ukraine and Crimea, and then the other propaganda, cyber attacks, and other types of operations that they're doing there, trying to delegitimize NATO and our NATO allies. And I'm deeply concerned coming back from that trip, from what I saw and heard. Previously we had an approach of leading from behind, which I did not agree with. The world is looking for American leadership to address these complex issues that we're facing today. So I would say, in the visit in the Middle East, in Israel, I appreciate President Trump, showing that, hey, we're going to lead and we're going to ask for strong support, and people need to do their part. On the NATO trip, wouldn't have been my approach. I'm not the President of the United States. I agree that some of our NATO allies have certainly not stepped up and have been under the umbrella of our support as they dealt with their own financial difficulties, but didn't step up for their 2% of their GDP being spent on their military, and they need to step up. But I also think it was important to make sure that we are committed to Article 5, an attack on one is attack on all, for the strength of this alliance in dealing with the new threats and the resurgence of Russian aggression in the region. And so that would not have been my approach. Certainly, again, I didn't get elected president, but I think it was important to challenge our allies that they needed to step up. But I also think it was important for those who would have been listening, our allies and others around the world, to have that reiteration of the importance of Article 5 and our commitment to it.
All right. We're going to go to Ingrid. Ingrid, I am really out of time, but you've been waiting a long time. If you have a very quick question, please, Ingrid.
Yes or no. Ma'am, is it true that people who are employed in the federal departments have health care programs that are different from the rest of us, including different from you, that they're special, better, and the rest of us have to be are stuck with what we've got. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ingrid. Just know I get my care at the VA, and so I personally don't have any anything special. But there is a federal employee health care system for regular federal employees that they pay into and is a part of a separate health care system. So that is true for civil servants. For members of Congress and their staff that are choosing to be involved in the healthcare system offered to them, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, there was a decision that they were going to have to get their choices on the D.C. exchanges, and so they do that right now. If you recall, when the, again, start of the process for moving away to something that's going to be more stable came up, there was a parliamentary loophole that did not have some of the provisions applied to members of Congress and their staff. So I offered a separate bill to make sure that anything that comes out of any of this legislation that applies to the American people also applies to members of Congress and their staff, those same criteria. And so that bill was actually passed unanimously in the House. So so that's the bottom line on that.
All right. Congresswoman McSally, thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be with you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot. Congresswoman Martha McSally with us on the Buckmaster Show. Our roundtable is next. Sarah sticks around with me in the studio, and Jim Nintzel, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, is on the live line. We'll have Jim's thoughts right after this.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for the Friday roundtable portion of our Friday hour from noon to one. Let's bring in now on the live line Mr. Jim Nintzel. Jim is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and I know you're going to correct me and you're going to say I'm the temporary editor, but you are the editor right now.
This week, Bill, through the end of the day, at least. We'll see what next week holds.
At least. Listen, we just had the session with Congresswoman McSally. By the way, Sarah Garrett Gasson is still with us in studio. Thank you. Hello, Sarah. Tim Steller.
Hey, Jim.
Tim Steller wrote about this candidate, Mary Sally Metella. Is that the correct pronunciation on that, Jim?
Sounds pretty close.
Okay. And I know you talked with her as well, right?
Yeah. You know, Tim spoke with her over at Bill Rowe's house, and actually so did I earlier this week. Sat down with her, not at the same time as Tim, but spoke with her under similar circumstances. You know, she has, you know, Bill Rowe, for those listeners who don't know, he's not exactly a household name, but he's a very... he's a big shot with both the National Democratic Party and the State Democratic Party here. And, you know, he's taken a shine to Mary Sally. He finds her biography to be a really compelling one. She grew up the son of a migrant farmer who moved around a lot in Arizona and eventually went into construction work. And she went to Pueblo High here in Tucson in the late 60s at a time when a lot of women and a lot of Latina women in particular were not encouraged to go to the University of Arizona, but she went and got an education and had quite a career since then working in the accounting end of the federal government in various different positions, including heading up the accounting for the entire army in the Obama administration after she thought she had retired. And now she is kind of got an interest in joining this very crowded congressional field and has a few folks who are pretty high on her at this point, along with, of course, Ann Kirkpatrick, who the former congresswoman who might be out there.
Well, that's the guessing game going on about Ann Kirkpatrick, whether or not she is going to be running in CD2. And I know former Congressman Ron Barber is pushing her to try to get into the race, Sarah, that he would like to see. That's kind of his candidate.
Yeah. I think one thing, and just speaking from just sort of an outside perspective, the Democrats need to get their act together, I think is a kind way to put it, and get focus behind a really strong candidate who can not only match positions, you know, have a platform and intelligence and smarts and different kinds of experience, but also match the energy that Congresswoman McSally brings, because she is I don't think she breathes. she knows what she's saying, and she is forceful with her energy. And I think countering that with someone who doesn't have that sort of that sparkle or that force of personality.
A low energy candidate.
Yeah, we don't want any low energy candidates.
Jim, what do you think? They've got to get their act together here very soon, don't they? Have you heard anything about this Kirkpatrick thing? Is a decision imminent there or what?
I've heard that she's thinking about it and that her mind is sincerely not made up, and that one of the reasons Ron sent out that email last week to encourage people to draft her is that he's trying to push her in that direction. So, you know, I think we're going to see a few of these candidates who are interested in running. There is actually a forum next week for candidates. Yes, we're already having a forum sponsored by the folks behind Indivisible Southern Arizona and the McSally Take a Stand group, which is morphed into a political committee now, whose name escapes me off the top of my head. However, yeah, they're doing something at the YMCA next, YWCA, excuse me, downtown on Bonita Avenue there on Wednesday from starting at 6 o'clock, I believe. So well, I guess we'll get our first look at what these folks look like on the stump, whoever turns up. And I'm not sure which of these candidates are going to be there. I think Mary Sally's going to be there. And I heard that Jeff Lattice was not. I would guess you'd also probably find Billy Kovacs and Bruce Wheeler. And I'm not quite sure who else will be there. But
Billy Kovacs was my guest this week. He's an impressive guy. I think he said he just turned 30. And I like the fact that some young folks are actually energized enough to even get into politics.
I think a whole bunch of folks are energized these days, Bill. It's definitely a situation where the Trump administration has gotten folks inspired in ways that some of them probably never imagined they'd be inspired to become engaged, especially after yesterday's announcement regarding the Paris Agreement.
Yeah, I think that is a really good point. And I don't want anyone to think that I don't think there should be choice in, you know, that the Democratic Party should somehow tell the
anoint
right,
someone.
Right. Say, here is your candidate. Yeah. But I also think that disorganization in the minds of the voters, like, well, who's running for what, is can be dangerous in an election like this. But I am also very heartened and encouraged by how active people want to do it. I think it's really remarkable, and I hope it continues in a focused, thoughtful, planned way through the election times.
This event next week feels a little bit like spring training baseball to me. You know, it's a chance to get out there and take a few swings, loosen up a little bit. I you know, obviously the rosters are not yet set for even the primary, which is more than a year away at this point. But I think one of the major things that we'll have to be watching for is who can raise money, because in the cruel Darwinian world of, you know, DCCC politics, being able to show you can raise an initial $250,000 is a major hurdle you have to jump over before the national folks are really going to even pay attention to you. And their support does mean a lot in terms of what kind of advertising support you get down the line and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know, I think that's going to be one of the big questions we'll be watching for as moves forward is who's really got the fundraising moxie and can perform in that arena.
The city council races, the filing was this week, right? Was Wednesday?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Any surprises?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think the biggest surprise to me is that Republicans have not fielded a candidate for that open seat in Ward 3, because if you look at when Republicans have won races in this town, it's generally been there's an open seat.
Right.
The one time you've seen a Democrat knocked off was Steve Kosachik knocking off Nina Traceoff. And that was in a year where the Republican Party was in ascendancy as a kind of a reaction to the Obama administration in 2009. You're not going to see the same thing happening this year, I don't think, in the city of Tucson. Republicans are going to have an uphill climb. But if they had a shot at all, it was in a race where you had an open seat. And they actually had a firefighter who wanted to run as a Republican in that race. And they sat down and talked to him, and he said his positions were too leftist for the Republicans here in this town, including his support
goodness.
For the Prop 101 that passed overwhelmingly in the city of Tucson just a few weeks ago. And they said, well, you don't match up well enough with us. So he's running as an independent now. But, yeah, I'd say that the big surprise to me is the Republicans haven't even – they fielded only one candidate to run against Steve Kosachik.
All right. Jim Nintzel, how's the TV show going here? I didn't mention that when I said you're the editor of the weekly. You're also the host of Zona TV, Zona Politics, excuse me.
Yeah, and we're actually taking a week off this week with the radio and the TV, as it was a short week here at the Weekly and my various other publications that I'm managing temporarily. They have a dozen publications that I'm running, so it's been a little chaotic on that front. So we had a back burner, the side hustle there.
All right, Jim Nintzel, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your input. And I do want to mention we've got three candidates going in that that open seat on the Democratic side, and we've already booked, we're doing a debate here on the radio with them in mid-July. So voting is pretty much right around the corner before you know it for that primary. That will be an interesting race, won't it, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, an open seat is always, you know, there's the opportunity for some fresh faces. And I think you've got three interesting candidates in that race on the Democratic side for sure.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate your input into the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. All right. We're going to take our break right here. Matt Russell will be back with our weekend watch, what to do this weekend, as the Buckmaster Show Friday edition continues to re-air Saturday afternoon at 4. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. All right, it is the official time when we can declare it's the weekend. Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, southwest New Mexico. Great activities, so much to do, including this beautiful weather. It may be well over 100 here, but up at that mile-high elevation of Silver City, you've still got some really mild nights and really pleasant days. So check it out. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website for several dozen great recreation opportunities and a like number of great places to stay. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Bill. Welcome back. I miss you, man.
Oh, thank you very much. We had a great time in Tahiti. Stranded
yes,
in Tahiti.
That'll be on my bucket list for sure.
What's going on this weekend?
Well, you know, now that summer is in full swing, the family of merchants over on 4th Avenue, they're gearing up for their new Fridays on 4th event, kind of a weekly celebration of the steamy season with special deals from Avenue restaurants and retailers. And they're kicking off the whole thing today. $4 draft beers at Bison Witches, 2 medium pizzas at Magpies for only $22, 2-for-1 sangrias at Delectables.
Whoa.
So many more delicious discounts. It's the perfect way, I think, to let your weekend swing wide open. It's Fridays on 4th.
Boy, the 4th is going to have it all for you by the time you're through with that, right?
Absolutely.
How about the summer burger? I know you've been very active over at Charo Steak.
Absolutely. More news from the Summer Fun Desk. You called it. The Summer of Steak Burger menu has officially arrived at Charo Steak. 5 new burgers named after, are you ready?
I know.
Local
you, one of
journalist.
Them.
Yes. I actually have my own burger, Bill.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called the Russell Meltdown. And it's built on a half-pound mesquite grilled patty, 2 kinds of gourmet mushroom, melted manchego cheese, wine-soaked onions, all stacked high on grilled toast. They had me at wine-soaked, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
Other burgers represented kind of the food personalities of the Arizona Daily Star, Edible Baja Arizona Magazine, Jackie Alpert's Photography, the Tucson Foodie Blog. You can try them all this weekend at Charo Steak. Now, I got to ask you, Bill, what would be a mandatory ingredient for the Buckmaster Burger?
Oh, my gosh. It's got to have 2 kinds of cheese, just like the Russell Meltdown. And I'll tell you, I just can't get enough. I love those grilled onions. Too with that burger and steak.
Can't have a burger without them. I'm totally on the same page.
What's going on at Maynard's this summer?
You know, well, speaking of wine soaked, the annual summer wine tour launches tonight at 6 o'clock at Maynard's Market, where different regions of the world are going to be showcased every week from a vino point of view. Now tonight, it's all about wines from Germany and Austria, 2 places I know you've been to, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Tasting is only $10 a person. Special happy hour menu is going to be offered if you want to snack with your sips. You know what? We just love summer here on Weekend Watch, so I say get out and enjoy it with us.
Can there be a better place to be someone that is writing about food and beverages? Let's face it, Tucson has become a food destination, hasn't it?
That I got to tell you, this time next month, there's going to be an event in Paris.
What?
That is going to be showcasing the culinary and cocktail culture of Tucson. It's actually called Tucson Feeds Paris. The entire world is celebrating our food culture here in Tucson. Who'd have thunk it, Bill?
I know. Thank you so much, Matt. Always a pleasure, sir.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell, who hosts our Weekend Watch on The Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. There's so many people that I want to thank, all of our guest hosts who were sitting in for me. Did a great job, Dan Shear, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Our own Ray Allen, who is the operations manager here at KVOI. He's also my engineer producer Monday through Thursday. Ray did a couple of shows, did a great job. Commentator Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly also doing a very fine job. And of course, Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, did a couple of shows, a couple of Tuesdays. All went well. Thanks to all of you for helping out. Also, a big thanks to the station folks here, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of KVOI, Jerry Cross, our production ace, Ed Alexander, of course, Tom Fairbanks, Tom, my engineer, producer, go-to guy on Friday, and of course, Rosemary Brandt, who has been with me on the Buckmaster Show since we launched it about 6.5 years ago. So it's a great team, and we're very pleased. I'm glad to be back in the saddle again after a couple of weeks off, but I missed certainly doing the show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I am Bill Buckmaster. We hope you have a great weekend and a safe one. Back with you on Monday.